This is Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobbo Hobgood on Fox Sports 910.
All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking, second half hour, and we are super pumped up. Our next guest, who I believe is on the line, is none other than UVA legendary guard Barry Parkhill. And Hobbo has, like, just a page of questions to talk to Barry relative to the UVA basketball team.
Well, the first question is always, why didn't he pass the ball to me? But that's we'll skip that one tonight.
Oh, let's get this straight. You tease him every time he comes on. He's like fifth on the all-time UVA assist list.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well.
I looked that up.
Don't confuse me with the facts. Anyway, Barry, we appreciate your taking a few moments to join us tonight. Happy Thanksgiving to start with.
And same to you guys. It's always good to be with you. And, you know, Jim, if you'd have made some more jumpers, I might be third on that list.
Well, I sometimes had to go get my own rebounds to pad the stats. But at any rate, all right, let's talk about put on your coaching hat tonight. You know, we may not ask too much of your development hat, more your coaching hat tonight. Looking at the basketball team coming off three great wins down in Charleston. Were you there, by the way? Did you get down for the tournament?
Jim, I saw the first round game against Bradley and came home for a board meeting and our football game on Saturday, but okay. I did see the first game.
All right, well, tell me what happened between Monday night's disappointment and Thursday, Friday, and Sunday night's great performances.
You know, I think part of it's just the maturity of the team, but I also, in my opinion, a big part of it is I think George Washington is a very good team, very well. We'll find out in come March that there'll be an NCAA tournament team. I just think they were very good.
Yeah, they're good, and you know, the one thing it seems like, you know, London Perantes didn't play particularly well at GW, but he had a great tournament down in Charleston. I think he's one of the keys to making his team go. Just having that really effective, experienced point guard.
You know, and some people say, Jim, that there are certainly a lot of teaching points that came away from the game against George Washington. I think a lot of those teaching points would still be there even if we had won the game by a point. I think Merrill Shayok will be a very, very important part of this team because he gives us another scoring option. I agree with you about London. I guess everybody, including Tony, probably would like to see him shoot the ball more, but he's so unselfish. But I think he also has a good feel as to when we need his shot. But I think all the kids pretty much across the board played well this past weekend.
Yeah, I tell you, the guy that shot the ball well down there was Devin Hall. You know, I'm really fond of these left-handed jump shooters, but Devin, you know, he shot the ball well, seemed like he was shooting it with a lot of confidence, and that was one of my concerns of this team. Do we have enough perimeter shooting? But as you say, with London, Malcolm Brogdon, Shayok, and Devin Hall and others, you know, we may have more perimeter shooting than I thought.
Yeah, all these kids work so hard. I know Devin's put in a lot of time with improving his shot, which he has. And I think a lot of people would say if you pick apart our team, the perimeter shooting might be a little questionable. But at the end of the day, you know, we're always going to play great defense, and that's what keeps teams in games. And when we shoot the ball fairly well, we're going to be pretty tough to beat.
You know, the one thing, and I'll let Frank get in here with the one thing that struck me at the GW game is, you know, the last several years we had Akil Mitchell and then Darian Atkins. I think we're still trying to find that inside defensive presence. Who do you expect might fill that role?
You know, this year, Jim, I don't think there's going to be a player like Darian or Akil. And it's one thing being a great defender, which, we've got guys that play good defense and we play great team defense, but I don't know that we have a shot blocker, and that's just a skill that sometimes kids have. And, you know, having a kid that can block shots can erase a lot of mistakes. But hopefully we won't make that many mistakes on defense. And I'm not so sure that every team in the country is still adjusting to the way the game's going to be called. And the one thing that sticks out to me in the GW game, and it happened a little bit this past weekend, is guys taking the ball on the dribble and trying to drive all the way to the hole. And that might be one of the few ways that some teams feel like they can they can challenge us. It's just our team defense is so good that they try to beat us off the dribble.
Well, and this is Frank. Barry, with the games that we've seen so far, Morgan State, GW, Bradley, Long Beach State, and George Mason, it almost seems like at times the referees can blow a whistle on at some of the strangest moments in the contest, and players and coaches are going to look around and go, what's going on? And I think the fans are going to be really confused. It seems to me that if a player really wants to get to the hoop, what can the defensive player do?
Well, you know, you either back away, you foul them, or somebody's in there to take a charge. I think, Frank, at this point, too, whether you like the way the game's being called or not, players and coaches just have to adjust.
Right.
And I think they'll do that near term. You know, what GW shot 28 foul shots in that game, and they made 23, and that was a big part of their win. You give them credit for shooting the ball well, but again, our guys will have to adjust. But I think that on the ball defense, we've always been good, and I'm sure that our guys and Tony will make all the necessary adjustments.
Barry, you know, the one thing, and even the media has referenced the fact that Virginia is playing at a much faster pace, at least in the first several games this year. Is that the 30-second shot clock? Is it that we're deep and more athletic this year, or some combination thereof?
I think it's a little bit of everything that you just mentioned, Jim. And I think, again, pushing the ball up the floor, if there's something that's there, I think Tony really trusts his guys to make good decisions. But if not, you got a shorter shot clock. I personally think the shorter shot clock eventually will make us an even better defensive team, because now our guys only have to pay defense for 30 seconds versus 35. And again, I think things will settle down somewhat. And I don't. Maybe the shot clock has something to do with guys trying to beat us off the dribble. But again, I think time will tell.
Barry, you know, this is much has been made of the fairly serious and complex schedule Virginia's got this year. You got Ohio State coming up in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. West Virginia and William & Mary are looming, and then you've got Villanova and Cal before the end of the calendar year. What do you make of the non-conference schedule?
I don't think it's a secret, Frank. It's a great non-conference schedule, and I think Tony wants to test our guys early. And the hope is getting through that schedule, getting into ACC play, and then being prepared for postseason play. I don't think there's any question that's why Tony's doing it. And again, as they say, you take them one at a time, but it's probably one of the tougher, if not the toughest, non-conference schedule that we've had since Tony's been our coach.
You know, the funny thing is, and I'll give you credit again, and I've done this before, but several years ago when Anthony Gill just came in as a transfer and you saw him work out, you kept telling me what a player he was going to be for Virginia, and he clearly has been. That's probably why you're the former coach and I'm the former analyst. You know,
you're a little better
recognition. But talk a little bit about Anthony Gill. What a terrific kid and what a player he's been and continues to be. And it seems like his free throw shooting is maybe improved a little bit this year as well, at least early on.
Well, the kids work quite a bit on everything. And Anthony he's extremely athletic. He's a very strong kid. He's fearless. And what he gives us, Jim, as you know, he gives us a back-to-the-back basket presence, which, you know, really, really helps, because if he's not double-teamed, there's probably a pretty good chance he's going to score or get fouled. So if you double-team him, we've got shots at the perimeter. But, you know, it's last year with us, and I know, as I said before, all the kids work hard, but he's really playing well. And I think the tournament, in a lot of respects, just helps all our guys, because we shot the ball well. And you know, Jim, confidence is half the battle as an athlete. And our guys watching their shot go in, it's got to help them down the road.
You know, Barry, watching Malcolm Brogdon over these last few years since he recovered from the foot injuries, talk about his development, because, I mean, he's bucking to be the ACC Player of the Year. And what a great kid.
My wife and I both have gotten to know we get to know all our kids pretty well, and Malcolm, being a fifth-year player, gotten very close to him, and as great a player as he is, he's as good or better a person. And he's one of the most outstanding student-athletes and people I have ever been around in sports. You know, he's in graduate school at the Batten School of Leadership. Great player, very unselfish. Just, you know, you're lucky to get a kid like him once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
We've been fortunate. Again, it starts with Tony to have just an incredible group of kids.
Yeah, Malcolm, I think if you talk about ambassador for the program and the university, you know, not only the basketball program but the university, you know, I always tell people, listen to Malcolm Brogdon after a basketball game in a post-game interview, and you have to be proud to be a former member of the Virginia basketball program. I mean, he uses a lot of words I don't understand, but fortunately I got Linda to explain it to me.
Well, Jim, you hit the nail on the head. Just an incredible representative of the University of Virginia in every best way possible.
So what are you looking forward to? You know, is this a potential Final Four team?
I would not touch that with a 10-foot pole. I just look at, with this group, one game at a time, and I would guess that Tony and his staff are still trying to figure out what the playing rotation is going to be. He's changed lineups a few times, and it's probably going to be pretty hard to play 11 guys a lot of minutes, as you guys know. And I think, again, he's probably still doing some experimenting, but I think over the next couple weeks, you know, guys are going to earn their keep, and they'll probably settle into more of a rotation than he's in so far.
Well, I think Mike Toby found out about what's expected of him, because he only saw like 9 minutes in that second game down there in Charleston. But last night, Mike Toby seemed very alert and very aggressive. And
motivated, that's what
we
call it.
Yeah, he was motivated.
Sometimes a little time on the bench motivates.
Well, I hear you. And I would guess that Mike's worst nightmare is facing Jack Salt every day in practice, too, because Jack flat out gets after it. But
yeah, because in practice you don't get disqualified after five fouls.
No, you sure don't. But, you know, I think it's great to have a guy like Jack Salt where Mike can go against in practice every day, and it makes him a better player. And Mike's a very talented kid, and he had a good tournament. And, you know, we're going to need him this year if we're going to have the kind of year we all want. And I think being more consistent, especially that is his last year, will be very, really important to us as a team.
Well, Barry, I know Frank and I look forward to seeing you over at JPJ, maybe as early as Wednesday night, but happy Thanksgiving to you and Pat and family, and thanks for joining us tonight for a few minutes. We'll have you back as the year progresses.
Well, it's always an honor to be on your guys' program, and all the best to you guys as well, but I do hope to see you on Wednesday.
Thank you, Barry, and happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks so much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Barry. We're gonna jump over here to Dr. Gordy Rawls, our good friend at Ortho Virginia. Gordy, are you there?
I'm right here.
All right, Gordy, you're important. You're sitting right there in the driver's seat. This is crucial. UVA has got a huge game this Saturday, playing against their in-state Uber rivals, the Virginia Tech Hokies, and. You know, I only saw two plays during the game in which players might have been injured. I saw LaChaston Smith, a running back for Virginia, collide with a linebacker, number 53, for the Blue Devils, and both players having a hard time getting to the sideline. I think LaChaston was able to sort of jog off, kind of dazed, and 53 had to have help from the sidelines, but ultimately he did walk off. So that looked like maybe a double concussion type thing. The other injury potentially was Kanane Severn. You know, he got wrapped up in one of those fumbles by Smoke Mizell in the second quarter. You know, a nice, tall, skinny receiver underneath the pile and all those monsters diving all over the place. Initially, it looked like he was in terrible pain, and then he walked off the field very gingerly, and they were holding his arm and hand in a certain position. And I instantly thought of you, Gordy. If anybody knows anything about that type of situation, it's none other than Dr. Frank McHugh's protege, none other than Gordy Rawls. So what happened?
Well, You know, I can't say I had a good view of that exact injury, but you know, it's just hard to tell whether you know, he got stung on the shoulder or strained his elbow. It's hard for me to say.
Well, you, by the way,
I just hope he's. I haven't really seen the injury report. Is he?
There has been no formal report, but the rumor amongst staff to media that came out of today's press conference was that it was a mild sprain. Now, if a guy is lying on the field and he's kicking his feet up and down, if that's mild, you know, I'm King Kong. I mean, you know, you don't kick your legs up and down and writhe in pain because you've got a mild headache.
Well, that's a good question, Gordy. I mean, is that a particularly painful type of injury if it is the shoulder?
Well, you know, probably the most common shoulder injury is called an acromioclavicular or nicknamed AC sprain.
Yes.
And that's what I call it because that first term I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah. And, you know, so it's completely different from the ACL, you know, which is the knee. But the AC sprain is usually sort of an impact injury in which, you know, the shoulder is sort of driven into the turf. You know, you land on your side most of the time. And, you know, you've seen it many times in college and pro sports where somebody's driven to the turf. Fortunately, a lot of those, there is not a complete rupture of a ligament, and it is very similar to a severe ankle sprain. And if the trainers can get the swelling under control, or if there is minimal swelling, you can recover pretty quickly.
So it's going to come down to his ability to handle the pain.
Yeah. Yep.
Because it is, it's his
certainly,
last game.
Certainly one of the limitations on a receiver is a lot of these shoulder injuries, the more severe pain comes with full extension, as in, reaching for a reception. And, so you're exactly right. Can the player, withstand the pain? And some people just have an incredibly tough pain threshold. And then secondarily achieve full range of motion.
I think
there's usually a pretty good shot at quick recovery if it's an AC sprain.
Well, we have to hope so because Kinane Severn is one of the best receivers in the conference, and
he's been a big part of the offense all year long.
And well, the last 2 years, and he's really, tracking towards the NFL beautifully. So a young man that I've had the pleasure of talking to on a number of occasions and is super polite but also very motivated, very competitive. And I predict that he'll be out there this coming weekend. The question is how much can he tolerate, because on blocking plays and on long pass plays where he's got to put that arm out there, how much can he stand, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'd hope for the best, but and he's certainly been a great asset to us this year.
Well, very good. Well, Gordy, we thank you for your input tonight and clarification on the AC joint, and we thank you and everyone at Ortho Virginia. You guys have been fantastic to us here at Who's Talking.
Well, we're glad to help out anything we can.
And, Gordy, happy Thanksgiving. We want to pass that along to you and your family and everybody over there at Ortho Virginia.
Okay, guys. Same to you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to jump to break right now, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to handicap this weekend's ACC games, and boy, these are all close contests based upon my research. Stay with us.